We return this morning to our series called Still, Things You Can Still Do While Being Still. And today the message is you can still grow. If you have a Bible, a paper one, or an app on your phone, you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to focus on verse 18. But here's a couple of things as we go into this. Personal learning and growth does not happen by accident. You have to engage in it intentionally. If you can remember, it will take your intentional decision to actually do something to grow. And if we've learned nothing about God, ourselves, faith, family life, civic life, government, etc., during these times, then we have wasted a precious opportunity that we may not have again in our lifetime. All this time where we've either had to work from home, some folks have lost their employment at the moment, kids have been home. We've had a lot of extra time that we don't normally have. Of course, essential workers are probably working more than they normally do, but many of us now have more time. And I just want to encourage you, even now as the restrictions are beginning to lift, that you make it a point to learn, to focus on doing something to help you become better, more informed, and just learn new skills. All of those things, try new things, stuff like that, so that you can grow in so many ways. And by the end of this sermon, I will give you four areas in which you can grow that will be helpful. Now, you will see that in the back, I have my mountain bike. So let me just, you'll see it in a moment, but there's something I've learned from mountain biking that I think really applies to our spiritual life. There's an old adage that says, talking about mountain biking, that the slower you go, the more likely you are to crash. Let me say that again. The slower you go, the more likely you are to crash. And in a spiritual life, it is like mountain biking. If we are not growing, if we're not being emphatic and purposeful about learning and growing, expanding our being in God and so on, then we are likely to start wandering away from the faith. It's important. That's what had happened to the people that Peter is writing to. So remember that. This week, as I was preparing for this sermon, I came across a number of articles about what people have been learning. And this is from a newspaper called Gulf News out of the United Arab Emirates. And the writer said that here's some things that they had learned, that you should be willing to trade some of your freedom for the greater good of the public. Some of us struggle with that, but that's a good lesson to learn. You should wash your hands whether there is a virus outbreak or not. That working from home should be an option for many people. That taking a sick day could save lives. They continue. Doctors and researchers need to be paid better. Everyone should know how to cook. Learn how to appreciate nature. Learn how to be content alone. My friend, his name is Al Downey, he wrote a little piece called Personal Lessons I've Learned. Here are six lessons he said he's learned, and I think this is really great for us to learn as well. A soft answer turns away wrath. How many of us have gotten into arguments, especially on social media, that don't benefit anyone? Nobody learns anything, and we're just stuck, and we end up kind of divided. So a soft answer turns away wrath. That's a really good thing to learn. Freedom is an amazing blessing that should not be taken for granted. We have taken them for granted because most of our lives we've had freedoms. Number three, material possessions should never become an opiate distracting me from spiritual realities. It's a good thing for us to remember that the spiritual realities are more important. And the wonderful thing is that the spiritual freedom that we have in Christ cannot be taken away, cannot be restricted. Number four, that the pace of life sometimes deprives us of living. We have been going so fast all the time. Going from here to there and back and here and there. And so many things that we forget that there's life to be lived. And now we've been forced to have a season of rest. Number five, we have only today. Isn't it amazing? Only today. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? And yes, there's a number, you know, the thousands of people around the world that have died from COVID-19. But there's people dying every day from all kinds of things. And so I hope, as my friend here has pointed out, we realize that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And so let's enjoy today. Let's be thankful for today. Let's give the Lord a gratitude and thanks. Express our appreciation for the life that he has given us. And lastly, he says that the gospel is without chains. This is something that he takes from Paul, one of the saints, because Paul was in prison as he wrote many of his letters. And he says, I am in jail, but the gospel is not in chains. So the same thing, we might be in lockdown, but the gospel, the testimony, the sharing of the good news is not in chain. In fact, there may be more proclamation of it, especially on online platforms, than there has ever been. So here are some ways that these individuals have been growing. So maybe you can engage with us in our social media. Is how have you grown during this time? What have you learned in this season? So please do that. Join us with that. Again, I want to mention this analogy from mountain biking, that the slower you go, the more likely you are to crash. And the principle is also true when it comes to our spiritual life. Let me just pray as we read scripture here in a moment. Father, I pray that you would speak to us. Would you please touch our hearts with your word? Would you please motivate us to be a people that are always learning and growing, especially growing and becoming more like Christ, even in this season. And as the restrictions begin to lift, please help us not to go back to our old way of living, because that wasn't always the healthiest. Help us to learn something good and to grow from this. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the questions we had asked earlier, by the way, is what book other than the Bible has influenced you the most? And I know that Kaylee said that one of the books, she can't remember the title, but it's one that helped her understand as she was doing her degree for social work, that people's circumstances often are a big factor in how they behave and decisions they make, and how that helped her to have more compassion on the people that she works with. So that's a really great point, Kaylee. Thank you for sharing that. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter says, but grow, and that could easily be translated as make it your habit to always be growing. So, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And the knowledge that Peter is speaking about isn't head knowledge. It's experiential knowledge. One of the things you can maybe, again, comment on the event page this morning is, have you learned a new skill this time during this season of the lockdown? I tell you, I order new bike pedals, pedals that you clip in, and then your foot is stuck to that. And it's the scariest thing at 55, 56 years of age. The last thing I want is another broken bone. I have already broken bones mountain biking, so I don't want to do that again. But I'm trying to learn this as a new skill. It's scary, but it's pushing me a little bit out of my comfort zone. What about you? Have you learned something new? Of course, Peter isn't talking about learning how to mountain bike, but he's talking about how to live a life that is purposeful and is according to what God would have for us. I love what Michael Green says. The Christian life is a developing life, for it consists in getting to know at ever greater depths an inexhaustible Lord and Savior. I'll say it again. The Christian life is a developing life, for it consists in getting us to know at ever greater depths an inexhaustible Lord and Savior. So you see, the people that Peter was writing to, they were starting to question their faith. And what made it even more complicated is there were these false teachers that were taking the writings of the Old Testament, some of Paul's writings, and then twisting them, and their own lifestyle and their teaching did not match up to the actual Word of God. And you know, you remember the sad event that happened a few weeks ago in Nova Scotia, where this mass murderer went on a rampage and I think killed 22 people, and then he was killed in the process as well. One of the things that complicated, and as I understand, one of the reasons why the police did not send out an Amber Alert, was number one, he was wearing a fake RCMP uniform. And number two, he had a fake RCMP vehicle. You see, he had all the appearances of being an RCMP, but he wasn't. And in the same way, the false teachers, they said, well, you know, this is what the Scripture, the Old Testament says, and Paul's writings, and they were twisting them to encourage people to live a life that was not according to what God would want for them. And that's why Peter says, I don't want you, having been very secure in your faith, to fall off, to walk away from the faith, to give up on what you know. Again, it's kind of like that mountain biking. If you slow down too much, especially when your feet are clipped in, the natural thing that's going to happen is you're going to lose your balance and you're going to fall off. That's what was happening. And this is what Peter is trying to get these folks to not do, to avoid that happening to them. And so that's why he says, well, verse 17, he says, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. He was so concerned for their spiritual well-being that he thought he better warn them. And so he said, one way you avoid that is by staying to the word, listen to sound teaching that you have received, and continue to trust in God. So here's a little difference between grace and knowledge. It's a little bit of debate as to whether it's grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, or if grace is part of that knowledge. And I believe that it's actually grow in grace and then grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They go together. And so grace, Chuck Swindoll says, keeps you tolerant and loving, even with people that you disagree, even with people who aren't necessarily believing like you do, or agreeing with you in whatever way. You can be tolerant. You can be loving. You can be loving towards somebody who's not living a life that they should live. Grace keeps you, gives you mercy and compassion. It's sad, as I see some of the dialogues on social media, some of them I have participated in, how compassionless we are. We begin by calling people names, by labeling others, by this and that. And it's not an honoring thing to do. So when we have grace, it gives us mercy and compassion. It helps us believe and accept. It helps us to believe and accept the teachings of Scripture, the teachings of the Bible, what the Old and the New Testament teaches us, how God is, how we should live, how we should treat each other. And lastly, it says that grace results in vulnerability. Grace accepts that maybe I could be wrong, or I don't have all the answers. And so we can be vulnerable. We can also be vulnerable because we know that our life, our spiritual well-being, is all by God's grace. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay it back. We don't have to keep all these regulations. It's based on love and grace. Knowledge, on the other hand, that is being knowledgeable about who God is, but in an experiential kind of way. You see, I did a lot of research before I bought those Shimano clipless pedals for my bike, but it wasn't until I put them on my bike, I put the cleats on my shoes, and I got on that bike and clipped in that I realized, okay, this actually feels really good. The bike and I feel like one unit, but I also realized if I make a mistake, I'm going to be down on the ground. You see, that's the difference. All the YouTube videos and all the reading I had done did not give me that feel, because that was head knowledge. Once I actually had the experience of trying to ride my bike with the clipless pedals, then I realized it was different. In the same way, Peter does not want us to have head knowledge of the grace and the knowledge of God, of Christ. He wants us to experience Him and be transformed by Jesus Christ. And so he says that knowledge, says Swindoll, keeps you strong and confident. It gives you discernment and discrimination. Discrimination in the sense that we can be discriminating when we read something, when we hear something, when somebody's teaching something, when somebody's posting something. I don't know how many times I've seen somebody post something on Facebook, social media, and then you research, and it's either from 5 years ago or for some questionable source. So let's be discriminating in that sense. Number three, he says that it helps you question and critique. Ask questions. What the scripture, what does it mean here? What did the pastor say when he mentioned that? And then to critique that. Now, there's a big difference between critiquing and being critical. Those are very different things. And scripture encourages us to critique, to test the spirits, it says in another part. And then lastly, that it results in stability. People that are knowledgeable, who know their Bible, who know Christ, who are growing in grace, who are growing in knowledge, they're not easily swayed by every wind of teaching, as Paul says himself in writing to Timothy, I believe. So stability comes from having a strong knowledge in God and in His words. So again, Peter encourages us to grow, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So may I encourage you to grow. In this season that we have left as phase one of the relaunch here in Alberta is on, and phase two, and then phase three, and when all the restrictions are lifted, let us keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you. Here are four ways in which you can grow. You can grow spiritually. Pray. Study your Bible. Sing. Participate, engage in spiritual disciplines like fasting, like meditation. These kinds of disciplines, like simplicity, are all wonderful ways for us to grow spiritually. So I am inviting you. You can grow spiritually by doing these things. Two, you can grow academically. You can study. You can read a book. You can take a class. You can learn a new skill. There is so much stuff available, and a lot of it is available for free or for very small cost. So you can still grow academically. Expand your mind. You will never know too much. So do that. You can also grow socially. Stay connected, even while still physically distancing. Even as we now begin to have these cohort families, as they are being called, you can still stay connected. But you can do things like phone calls, video calls. You can still send an old note, a mail, and things like this. You can touch base with your friends, talk to your neighbors over the fence, these kinds of things. You can continue growing. And lastly, we can grow physically. It's important for us to take care of ourselves. I think it was Jason and Nicole that posted, I believe this morning, that clothes in your closet should be taken out and aired out during the lockdown, because it has been proven, probably not scientifically, that clothes shrink during COVID-19 if you just keep them in the closet. So here's things you can do. Do something so that you can grow physically. Ride a bike. Do some gardening. Eat healthy. Stay healthy. Wear a mask. Disinfect. Wash your hands. All of these things are ways in which you can continue to grow physically. So I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to pray for you that we continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we can do, of course, what Peter says, that we can give glory to Christ now and forever. Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.